Live from Studio A in the all-new Cumulus Broadcast Center at the Louisiana Boardwalk in Bossier City, Louisiana. Time now for Talk of the Town with Tom Pace. Now, here's your host, Tom Pace.
Hey there, welcome back. It's noon, 5 minutes past the noon hour. September the 26th, the year 2009, live from the Cumulus Broadcast Center in the SuperTalk Studios, high atop the Louisiana Boardwalk and Copeland's Cheesecake Bistro, where, let me tell you, they have and can make you the hot pizzas. They got the Supreme with everything on it, and then they've got the pepperoni and you name it. And if you've been looking for those, boy, let me tell you, they're great. So and then of course they have Starbucks coffee and the cheesecake and you name it. They've got it all there. Super Talk 1340 KRMD, the talk of the town. It's a beautiful day today in the neighborhood, as Mr. Rogers would say. We want you all to stay with us because this hour is a really, really big hour. And as usual, whenever I have our legal correspondent, our law correspondent in-house, I always have to bring him in with this. Tell you, that is the sweetest sounding, and Suzanne has corrected me. I thought it was an oboe, but it is just the sweetest sounding clarinet that's in that theme that they developed. And by the way, the most recognized theme of all of television shows. You can identify it from the first three bars when you hear it, and just gorgeous music, and so riveting, as is the theme song that it is for Law and Order. And when we say Law and Order, we mean it two sides. And now we're talking about the order side. And that was when I called up Judge Creighton and said, I'd like an order of tater tots to go. And he said, sorry, we just sold our last order. But the order of business today is the law. And the law, Judge Creighton, is ever-changing and yet ever-constant.
That is correct. It evolves and addresses societal needs as they happen.
And we have to have order in order to not have anarchy and chaos.
Absolutely.
So you as a sitting judge, and now you've been on the bench here at the district court going on 20 years?
Almost 20 years.
Almost 20 years. Well, pretty soon you're going to get a real job, right? There you go.
You need to follow me around on any one given day, Tom.
Yeah, but right now you're doing a lot of civil trials, right?
I am.
But you've done the criminal, you've done the whole nine yards, right?
I've done it, correct.
And so now, Judge, there's a couple of three issues. One, we're going to come back in just a little bit and talk about, will be your newest program called No More Strikes. You did that on Thursday, right?
That was debuted this past Thursday, September 24th.
Mm-hmm. And it was over at CCC, and we're going to tell you about this because it is truly a groundbreaking type program that will help, hopefully, stop recidivism and career criminals by bringing them face-to-face with some serious consequences that could occur if they reach that three-strikes deal, right?
That's exactly right, and we incarcerate more people in this state per capita than any other state, and furthermore, recidivism is a huge problem. About 50% of those will reoffend.
See, and that's the thing. If you can break this vicious cycle, then maybe, just maybe, we can drop it down. And so the judge has come up with, Judge Creighton has come up with this program, brand new program that he's instituted. It kind of goes hand in glove in a way with Don't Let This Be You. That is a preventative program for the youthful offenders, the teenagers that are out there that seem to be more prone to maybe take gun in hand and create havoc and chaos and think that they won't receive any major jail time, but that couldn't be farther from the truth. So anyway, we're going to be talking to him about that. But right now, Judge, here's the deal. There was the Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She had pancreatic cancer. They did surgery, and allegedly everything's all good to go. But just this week, she had an issue that came up. She's being treated for iron deficiency, and she had a treatment, and then she got kind of lightheaded and everything.
That's right. My understanding is that she was anemic and treated for iron deficiency. She is a lady who is about 76 years old, mm-hmm. and she has previously had pancreatic cancer. There was a tumor which was resolved by surgery, and I understand that before that she had cancer in another part of her body. So she's had her issues, her medical issues to deal with.
And in that being the case, and this is something that you and I had talked about and have talked about since Justice Souter resigned, and now we have our new justice, you know, on the bench, Sonia Sotomayor.
And I might add, Tom, that the sweetest words known to man. I told you so. We predicted, and you helped me predict that Judge Sonia Sotomayor would be the next and newest United States Supreme Court Justice, and sure enough, she is, and she's been confirmed, and she is sitting and working right now.
And so, congratulations to her, the first ever Hispanic Latina judge ever on our Supreme Court.
That is correct.
And so now you've got a couple of other possibilities for justices that could retire or in whatever capacity come off of the court while President Barack Obama is there. And I can think of, if I'm not mistaken, there's a couple of others that are possible, Ruth Bader Ginsburg being one, and the other is?
The other is John Paul Stevens, who is age 89. He was nominated by President Ford in 1975. I think this illustrates the fact that a Supreme Court justice can outlast a sitting president, and can further that appointing president's
agenda.
Philosophy and agenda.
Mm-hmm.
That has not, however, been the case with John Paul Stevens. He was a Republican. He may still be, but he's been a liberal member of that 9-member court since 1975. I think maybe he started with a somewhat conservative view, but he has either evolved or devolved, as the case may be, to be a little bit more on the liberal, certainly the more liberal side.
And now the other thing was that if he steps down, then President Obama would have the opportunity again to appoint another justice. And the same thing with Ruth Bader Ginsburg. This would be three justices, and depending upon if Obama serves one term or two terms, where would this put the number of justices appointed by a president or his administration?
Well, President Reagan appointed two justices. Those are Scalia and Kennedy in 1986 and 1988, respectively. George H.W. Bush appointed David Souter, who is now gone. Sonia Sotomayor took his place. He retired. Clarence Thomas was appointed by George H.W. Bush in 1991, as I recall. And Justice Ginsburg was appointed by President Clinton in 1993. Justice Breyer appointed by Bill Clinton in 1994. And then Justice John Roberts and Sam Alito appointed by George W. Bush in 2005 and 2006, respectively. So it could be that President Obama ultimately ends up nominating, and of course it's all subject
sure.
to Senate approval, but he may end up appointing more justices than any other sitting president in recent history.
Wow.
Possibly.
That, and again, this is a possibility. So if you don't think that there is history in the making every day, not just in the world, but here in the United States in the legal system, you're wrong, because we're seeing it happening every day. In fact, there's a lot of people out there who do things and wish they hadn't done them, and Cher has a way to say it.
Find a way, I take back those words. Hides like a knife, it can cut deep inside. Words are like weapons, they wound sometimes.
I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it. That's what you hear from perpetrators, alleged people who have committed crimes all the time, to the police and to the judge and during trial. And welcoming back into the studio, as we've talked about here, it's 12:34 on your Saturday, September the 26th, 2009, and Caddo District Court Judge Scott Creighton here with us. And Judge, before we get to the to the CCC program that you're starting and No More Strikes, talk about this young teenager down there in New Orleans who had grown the dreadlocks, but he was up for trial, and then the judge was going to pass sentence, and it became kind of a very contentious issue here.
Well, it did become contentious. This was a juvenile. This young guy is a 10th grader in New Orleans, and he was before a juvenile court judge in New Orleans on a charge of possession of stolen property. He had dreadlocks. When he entered a plea of guilty, the judge gave him a jail term, suspended it, placed him on supervised probation with certain special conditions of probation. Those included that he must attend school every day, which is good. He was under house arrest, which means that after school he comes straight to his home and doesn't leave until the next day, and that's also good. He also was required to submit to random drug screens. And in addition, and finally, he was ordered to cut his dreadlocks.
Here's the fly in the ointment.
Absolutely. It is a fly in the ointment. He was ordered to cut his dreadlocks by the juvenile court judge.
Uh-huh. And did his dreadlocks have anything to do with the possession of stolen things?
No. Now,
uh-huh.
it could possibly be said, I suppose it could possibly be argued that if his offense was possession of marijuana, maybe there's some kind of arguable connection of some sort. I don't know. But certainly it has nothing to do whatsoever with possession of stolen property.
And he was wearing the dreadlocks, if I'm not mistaken, from the story that I read, because it is a family type religious thing, because I believe his daddy and the family from Haiti or somewhere out of the United States, and this is a religious custom.
That's right. And so there is an expression of religion guaranteed by the First Amendment. And I think more importantly, it has absolutely no reasonable relationship to rehabilitation. We can impose conditions of probation, but those conditions must be reasonably related to rehabilitation and reasonably connected to the nature of the offense.
So in that case, the judge, and I guess I can see where he was going. As I said earlier, it's sort of like taking the TV away, the television away from the kids, or the computer now, away from, or their iPod, that this is something that's very valuable to them, and this would make them think twice about committing another act to do this. But this steps on some personal amendment.
Well, if you really want to punish a young teenager, you take away his cell phone.
There you
I
go.
I learned that from my sons. That's very important. And I think the computer is right there with the cell phone.
And the iPod, too.
That's right. For me, it was black and white TV with rabbit ears.
Yeah, but the thing was, the problem was, it wasn't so much a TV, it was getting the rabbit back. That was
That's
the
right.
deal.
That's right.
Yeah, you got to hook the wires up and you're trying to get him to stand still. So getting back to this. So he imposes this and says, if you will cut your dreadlocks, I will allow you freedom.
He said, if you don't cut your dreadlocks, you will go to jail, and I'm giving you until September 23rd. That was the sentencing was earlier this month, early part of September.
That's right.
And the judge went on to say, I want to take away something that you value. You value your dreadlocks. I'm going to take that away. Well, you know, again, the condition of probation needs to be reasonably related to a concept of rehabilitation. It's not just, how about taking away his telephone? How about taking away his TV? That's for, I think, a parent to do. Or otherwise, from a judge standpoint, it needs to be reasonably related to the case in some way. It's not just making them give up things. And in this particular case, the ACLU, unpopular among some,
American Civil Liberties Union, as we all know,
learned about it, and they got involved, and the 10th graders' parents probably may well have been unable to seek appellate review through the system, and the ACLU took it on as an issue that they wanted to pursue.
Cause du jour.
That's right. And they went to the Fourth Circuit Appellate Court, which is the circuit court that includes New Orleans, and the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeal reversed the trial judge, saying basically that it was not reasonably related to rehabilitation. So it was really a violation of his constitutional rights, freedom of expression in particular.
Well, there you have it. So if you ever wonder how sometimes judges will come up with something, and obviously they're human, and they're going to try and administer justice in a way that they feel might be best for the offender. In this case, it was not a good deal to try and take away personal liberties and freedom of expression through the hair and the dreadlocks. So a very interesting story, and thank you for commenting on that, Judge.
You're welcome. For example, with a shoplifter, I could say you are forbidden as a condition of probation to go into Mall St. Vincent. That would be reasonably related to the offense and reasonably related to rehabilitation and reasonably related to protection of society. But this judge went overboard.
Overboard. There you go. 20 minutes away from the 1 o'clock hour, about to come up with the No More Strikes program that the judge has developed. However, Judge, you and I need to talk about a good friend of ours that we both know, and he's got a wonderful restaurant over there at the top of the hill with a big star, and that is Ernest Palmisano Jr. and Ernest Orleans Restaurant. I mean, let me tell you, if you love a fresh seafood cooked only the way that Ernest can cook it, flounder and the things of that nature, you've got Ernest, and he's got soft shell crabs right now that he can cook up. He said, Tom, it's a good time of the year. The soft shell crabs are fresh and they're tasty, and I'll cook them up for you. And you've been over there. You know what it's like.
Well, you know, and there's no better place to get marinated crab claws than Ernest. There's no better place on the planet to have marinated crab claws. And of course, the shrimp romelade is fabulous.
Oh, and don't forget not only the marinated crab claws, but those hot rolls. My gosh, they are just coming straight out of the oven. You break them open, and the steam comes out. They're just, and then you put the slather, the butter in them and everything, and oh my gosh, you can't get any better. And then if you want the prime aged beef, I mean the good stuff, go over there and let him cook you up a filet. Now that's my personal favorite, is the filet that's about an inch and a quarter, an inch and a half thick. And you know the thing that you and I have talked about, Judge Creighton, the fact of the matter is, he'll cook it any way you want it. He's not all bent on my way or no way.
Well, you like yours well done, as I recall, yeah. and I prefer mine to be just almost mooing.
Oh, jeez!
but he'll prepare it the way you want it prepared.
Absolutely. And then he's got those great old big baked potatoes that they cook, and then they bring them out there. Of course, they're in the aluminum foil, and they've just been cooked hot. Then they pop them open, and the steam just comes out, and you can put the butter on there. You can put the sour cream, the chives, whatever you want. And with every steak now, he's got that little piece of it's a peach that he cooks right there alongside it. And sometimes he'll even put a little ring of the red stuff. I can't call it. I've just had a senior moment. I'm sorry, Kelly. But I'll tell you one thing. He's got libations. He's got anything that you want. And an AB freeze, just know that that's wonderful. And don't forget, by the way, his desserts. And I love the Bananas Foster. You ever had Bananas Foster over there?
I have. They're good. It's good. But, you know, usually I'm just so full from the marinated crab claws and the shrimp romelade and whatever the fish special is and whatever else is on the special. By that point,
yeah,
I've reached my limit.
Don't forget Snapper Orleans. And let me tell you, he can cook it however you want it. So go by and see him tonight. Make the reservation. Go to my website, shreveTalk.com. Click on Ernest Orleans Restaurant. You get the full menu listing. You can even make your reservations online and go by and see them. And they're just great people over there. He and Tina Marie and the whole family. It's a family. You go by there, they know what you want. They'll treat you right. And by the way, even if you didn't have a reservation, I've seen the people come in, they'll get them seated. Ernest Orleans Restaurant, right there at the top of the hill off of I-20 at Spring Street. You'll see a big star outside going around tonight. And stop by and tell him we were talking about him on the Talk of the Town. Now, getting back into the situation of the repeat offenders that are currently housed at CCC here in Shreveport, and Judge Scott Creighton in the studio with us. Now we're going to talk about no more strikes. Oh, mama, don't treat me so mean, meanest old woman I've ever seen. And a meanest, some of these offenders are very violent offenders, and others, not necessarily so, but incarcerated and tried and now in prison. And County District Court Judge Scott Creighton here in the studio. You had been doing a program, and still are, called Don't Let This Be You, aimed at the youthful offender and prevention. But how did this come about, this program that you're calling No More Strikes?
Interestingly, I received a phone call one day from a Caddo Parish deputy assigned to Caddo Correctional Center and assigned to what they named the reentry program. That's actually part of the Louisiana Department of Corrections reentry program. And this program, the overall program, is one that has been developed by the Louisiana Department of Corrections. And she asked me to come speak on the eve of their graduation. It's basically a 3-month or perhaps even 100-day series of classes where they learn a number of things. And by the way, these are not the violent offenders. These are not armed robbers, drive-by shooters, murderers, anything like that, because those guys are serving a lot of time.
Hard time,
and they're at Angola or at one of the other state penitentiaries. These are people who are in jail for repeat drug offenses. It could be possession with intent to distribute. It could be burglary. They're the nonviolent felony offenders who need to be in jail, but they don't need to have life imprisonment. They need to have some period of time to understand the error of their ways, but they are the ones who are going to ultimately return back to society.
And you want them to be beneficial members of society.
Well, we do, and I want them to be productive members of society. So this overall program, the overall program is one that has been developed by the Department of Corrections, the Louisiana Department of Public Safety and Corrections.
Yeah, and so the thing that again, we're talking with Judge Scott Creighton about, this is a program where he's going to tell them, with the help of ADA Ron Stamps and also Ron's brother Herbert Stamps, the consequences of what their actions can be if they habitually repeat. Is that the deal?
That is correct, and I focused on several main items. First of all, I let them know that their legal status is different. It is different, and there's nothing that can be done about it. God is forgiving, I'm forgiving, but the public records do not forgive, and they are convicted felons. Their status is different, and they need to understand that. They need to understand the conditions of parole, because once they get out, there are about 20 specific conditions of probation, or parole, rather. It would not include dreadlock cutting, as we discussed earlier.
Right.
There are serious conditions of parole. For example, they must work, they must be employed, they must not associate with any other criminals, they must get substance abuse treatment if drugs played a part in their conviction. They have to submit to random drug screens, they have to be available for unscheduled parole visits, pay parole fees, community service, education, further education. If they didn't get a high school degree, a GED requirement is part of their condition of parole. and also agreed to searches of their person and their home unannounced. And they need to understand that those are the conditions of parole that are set forth by law. If they do not comply with those, their parole will be revoked and they'll have to serve the additional time on that sentence. That's the first thing we talk about.
So there's a lot of conditions on this whole deal, if they're not going to be repeat offenders, that they need to be aware of if they are to be paroled and get out.
That's right. And then there are other issues that we talk about. I talk about the crime of possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. A convicted felon may not possess a firearm. That's what the law is. And the penalty is a minimum of 10 years hard labor up to 15 years hard labor. So, for example, and it could be an offender who's been out for 9 years. If he is possessing a firearm, he can be charged with possession of a firearm by a convicted felon, and this could be 9 years out from the time that he was released off of parole supervision. And it could be, it doesn't necessarily have to be held in his hand, but rather it can be under his dominion and control. It can be in his car, it can be in his trunk, and if he's a convicted felon, the police find out, they will arrest him. He is charged with that crime. The DA will likely not reduce it, and he has a choice of either A, pleading guilty, or B, going to trial. And I've told the inmates, and I talked to 60 inmates on Thursday night. I talked to another 25 on Friday morning. I told them that juries don't like the idea of felons having firearms, violating the law, and I have not seen an acquittal yet. They convict every time.
So this would be strike two if they had done something else, right?
That's right. That's right. And that leads me, I also talk about the possession law. It could be actual or constructive, but that leads me into the habitual offender law, and that is a very serious bit of ammunition in the DA's arsenal.
And this is the one that's called No More Strikes, this title of your program, because it goes from the side of three strikes and you're out. I mean, like, then you have some serious time imposed on top of the other sentence.
That's right. You know, in naming this presentation, I thought about a couple other choices. One would be no more frequent flyers, something like that, because sometimes habitual offenders are referred to as frequent flyers. We don't like the frequent flyers at the courthouse. Mm-hmm. That is, those guys that have come through 10 times
before.
But the
airlines are not going to be happy with you on that.
Well, they might have some copyright issues with that. I don't know. But anyway, so it came to me just a few days ago, a few days before the presentation, it occurred to me that a good solid name would be No More Strikes. I've actually reserved that as a website name. That website is under construction right now. It will be nomorestrikes.com.
And you see, that's what it's all about, because you can go to judgescottcreighton.com or don'tletthisbeyou.
The don'tletthisbeyou.org. I could not
right.
get the .com
on
that one. I don't know why, but I just couldn't.
Well, don'tletthisbeyou.org, and you can click on that, and it will direct you to the judge's website, where there are various presentations, both video, audio podcast. There are documents, there are decisions, there's commentary that you have issued on various subjects. There's the thing about the Nathaniel Code trial that's there on your website, and some very riveting audio tape testimony given by our former Caddo Parish coroner, George McCormick, and he's passed on by now. But the point of the matter is that it's a very compelling website, and now nomorestrikes.com is under construction.
That's right, and on that website, I will discuss these three areas that are applicable to felons. And my point is this, and of course, this program that the DOC has, overall, it covers employment skills, interviewing skills, you know, where an applicant goes in to apply for a job, what they need to say and how they need to say it and how they need to behave. The course also, not just my course, but the overall course addresses personal responsibility, including sexual responsibility. It includes substance abuse education. It includes parenting skills, because some of these inmates have children and they don't really know how to take care of them. It addresses anger management, which is an important thing, because some inmates have some anger issues. And so in this 90 or 100 days of of coursework, they deal with all that. My part of this is simply the law with respect to these three areas, and my goal and objective is to, as the song says, don't come back no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack, don't come back. And that's my message. We don't want you to come back. And that's what I'm trying to convey to them. And, you know, for a number of reasons, but one issue that we have to deal with is the fact that to house a DOC inmate.
And by the way, DOC, Department of Corrections, go ahead.
I'm sorry to be talking all this.
Well, that's okay. Well, we
talk
just
the trade here. But in the state penitentiary system, it costs, you know, about $35 a day to house an inmate on the average, because their guards have to be paid for and food that has to be paid for. And the cheapest they can do it is about $33 or $35 a day. Well, that's about $1,000 a month per inmate. So about $12,000 or so per year. The capital cost to construct a prison exceeds, you know, to construct a prison bed, just a prison bed, and they say exceeds $25,000 on the average. It's not just the bed, but it's the cell,
the whole surrounding
that part of the cell. But it's truly costing us a fortune to lock people up, and it's not as effective as it needs to be. We've got to have some retraining here. And my point is, I don't want to see them back in the penitentiary, because I want them to be productive citizens out there working, going to church, going to, you know, taking care of their families.
All right, let me ask you this. Judge Scott Creighton in the studio with us on the Talk of the Town. We're live on this Saturday, September the 26th, 2009. We're talking, and of course, a lot of these offenders can't hear the broadcast because they're incarcerated. However, their families might be hearing this. Could they tell them, listen, there is a program, and you need to pay attention and encourage them? Would that be something that could be utilized?
Yes. Anybody who hears this can address this with family members, and I'm happy to go to any Northwest area jails to talk to inmates in my spare time.
Not just CCC.
This is an important issue, and I really think it's a calling. I think that this phone call that I received was more than a phone call, and it triggered a development of this concept. And my thought is, if I can reach one person, and if I can convey to just one person, I've done a good job. I think I reached more than one person on Thursday night out of that 60 member all male group. I believe that I reached a lot of people, and I think they now understand these concepts.
All righty. And if they need to get in touch with you, and of course you've got the website, but is there a phone number? Is there a location that they need to, whether or not they call you or call CCC or what?
They can call CCC, Deputy Darby at CCC, but also I'll have some information on my website, and that should be hopefully constructed, Tom, in the next week. But it will cover how to contact me, and of course I do have this day job. I have this docket over
at
District Court.
What do you do during the day? Oh, you're judging again. Listen, you ever done a watermelon contest or anything like that? Beach eating contest?
I've never judged a watermelon contest.
All righty. Well, and I want to thank you for being in the studio. Oh, we just got to tell him thanks. Thanks so much to the good judge. I'm just so glad we had this time together. To have a laugh and to share a song, you know?
That's right, but I'm not Carol Burnett.
Well, I know. You look more like William Lee Golden, for Pete's sake. What is this beard thing, huh? I'm telling you, I didn't almost recognize you.
My wife vehemently objects, and therefore it's going to be cut very soon.
Yeah, but we have the picture of you. That's the deal. Super Talk 1340 KRMD, the Talk of the Town. Tom Pace, we'll see you next Saturday, 11 to 1. Y'all be safe and enjoy the weather. CNN News, top of the hour.